We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to him. We confess to him in the silence of our hearts. Hear the good news of God's mercy. St. Mark proclaims, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Because Jesus Christ has carried your sin to the cross and has risen from the dead, your failure is not greater than his grace. In the name of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I announce to you the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our opening song. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the world is sick with sin and death. Give us the courage to press through the crowds of doubt, fear, and distraction. Help us to reach out in faith and touch the hem of your garment, believing that your power and love are the ultimate source of healing in this world. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Jesus tells us to watch for signs in his life and ministry that point to the kingdom of God. St. Paul writes to the Colossian Christians that through Jesus, God would reconcile him to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Colossians 1, verse 20. In Mark chapter 5, we see a woman whose life was healed and reconciled to God simply by faith and by reaching out to touch Jesus' robe. Jesus is the ultimate authority, the ultimate healer, the Prince of Peace and Almighty God. The reading is from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Join me in prayer, please. Gracious Lord God, we praise and thank you for freeing us from our suffering. We praise you that you are Lord and King, not only of us and as individuals, but of all the world and of all of creation, all the universe. Send your Holy Spirit now as we consider your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, in the spirit of the anniversary of our nation's, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. As I was thinking about this, the message, I got to thinking about, you know, what do we need? What do we need? And I know, I mean, we pray for the healing of our nation, and we pray for the healing of our hearts. And as we look at 250 years and all that's come, what's amazing, I was talking to Pastor Tobias and the church that he was serving in Germany. Basically, you know, he was on an extended internship for about 3 years, I believe, is what he said. The church where he was serving was built in 800. Like, not 800 years ago, in the year 800. And I got to thinking about, you know, 250 years is a big deal. You know, 1846 for Fredericksburg, that is a big, amazing deal. And you know what? 800 being built, having a church built, I can't imagine the maintenance costs on that. But anyway, you know, that's amazing. But the truth is that all of it is part of this age. And what we see in the coming of Jesus is he ushers in the age to come. And it's the age to come enters in and will be fulfilled when he returns again. But in the meantime, we need healing. And we need it continuously. It's not, you know, have you ever noticed, like, you get better from something and then something else comes along? How many of you are in that boat from time to time? Yeah. You think, "Oh, good, I'm over that." And then you go to the back to the doctor in a couple of weeks, you're going, "What?" And that's the way of things. But the beauty of what we're going to see is what God offers, what Jesus does, is he brings a healing that lasts forever. A healing for our hearts and our souls. And I want to start. So, you know, I started here. It says the healing of our nation, the healing of our hearts, right? But I need to flip it. So let's look at this next slide here, because what comes first with the healing of the nation or the healing of a family or a healing of a community or a healing of a world, the world, is first right here, the healing of your heart. The healing of your heart. It has to start there. When you look at, you know, the church is called to have an impact on this world. It's called to make a difference. It's called to bring the message of healing, but not just the message, but to be doers of the word and to be out there serving and loving and caring for this very, very sick and troubled world. But it's got to start with transformed Christians. And the only way that transformation happens is with the healing of what? Your heart. The healing of your heart. Because as we get enough Christians with healed hearts, we're going to impact the entire nation. There's enough of us. But with transformed hearts, we can get a transformed nation. And so, yes, we pray for the nation. But I want to encourage you to pray for every Christian, that we would all be transformed in a powerful, beautiful way, so that we are out there being that influence out in the world. Well, we're going to jump back to Mark chapter 5. And Mark, you know, he doesn't waste any time. Let's go ahead and look at that, verse 5:27. And we're told that here's this woman with 12 years of menstrual bleeding. I mean, can you imagine? 12 years. And she had spent every last penny she had on physicians trying to get healed. Wouldn't you? I mean, and she was desperate. And she had heard about Jesus. And it says when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and did what? Yes, touched his clothes. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. What an incredible statement of faith. That is an amazing testimony, if you will, of what. And here's the thing, there's all these other people around. I'm sure many others who needed healing. But she trusted that the source of her healing would be to reach out and touch who? Jesus. And you know what? What's amazing, she doesn't even say touch his hand. She said, just let me touch the hem of his garment, the hem of his robe. And that faith. And Jesus, you know, the most powerful thing in the universe is Jesus' love and his power. The most powerful thing. It's through his love and through his power that the universe was made. Any wonder that if she touched him, that she would be healed. This is exactly what Jesus commends the woman for. And what's amazing is the disciples are really puzzled by this. Because if you listen to the reading, Jesus said, who touched me? And what did the disciples say? What do you mean, who touched you? There's a mob around you. And they're pressing in on you. What do you mean? They didn't get it. But Jesus wanted them, and he wants us to understand that we have a special place when we reach out in faith and touch him. We reach out and we touch and be healed. So if you want a transformed heart, if you want a transformed soul, you want to transform life, you reach out and you touch the living God. In a few moments, we're going to be celebrating Holy Communion. And what's amazing to me, Jesus doesn't tell us, this is the hem of my robe, come up and receive. What does he say? This is my body. This is my blood shed for who? For you. And when you come up to this table, I want to encourage you, hold out your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Because you coming up or us coming to you and handing it to you and you have your hand out, what you're doing is you're reaching out just like that woman did. And with faith, God can work miracles. God can work miracles. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Next verse. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was what? Freed from her suffering. She was in bondage, enslaved to her suffering. God freed her body, freed her heart, freed her soul. There's a word about this kind of freedom, this kind of restoration, and it's the Hebrew word shalom. And there's a lot of definitions. It's hard to, this is one of those Hebrew words that packs so much meaning into one word. Because it's not, we typically, oh, it means peace, like peace be with you, okay? No. It does have the connotation of peace as in, you know, oh, I hope everything's going well and that you have a contentment in your heart. No, shalom is much more. It is about true wholeness of your whole being, of your body, your mind, your soul. It is about restoration of that which is broken, of freedom. There's a freeing of that which has been destroyed. It's a healing of heart, soul, and body. It's completeness. It is contentment. It is reconciliation. It is harmony. And it's a deep-seated peace. And it's directed toward individuals, but it's meant for the world. When we're told that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, he is the Prince of Shalom. He's the Prince of this. And for you as individuals, for us as a community, but also for the nation, he is the Prince of Shalom. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have this for our nation? True wholeness, restoration, healing of heart, soul, and body, completeness, contentment, reconciliation, harmony, a deep-seated peace. How many of you would like that in the 251st year? Yeah. You see, shalom going on has everything to do with all of our relationships. First, our relationship with Jesus Christ, with family and friends, with community and neighbors, with our school, with our work, with our bodies, with our minds, with our nation. And I use the our as plural, but it's also you individually having those relationships made right. But I want to go back to that relationship with Jesus Christ, because it is indeed about the healing of our hearts. That's where we got to start this. If we're going to have a healed nation, we got to have healed hearts, us. In Colossians 1, we hear about this shalom relationship with Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes this. He says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things." Next part, "whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making" what? "Peace." Now, this is what's amazing. How does he make peace? Through his blood shed on the cross. Now, you talk about opposite of worldly expectations. You know, if you went up to somebody who wasn't a Christian, didn't really have any background in who Jesus was, and you said, well, that Jesus brings peace to us and to the world through his blood shed on the cross. You know what they're going to say to you? Well, what? But it's worth us diving in. Because that's where the healing takes place. He makes peace. He makes shalom with us. And notice this, whether things on earth or things in heaven, it's not just us. All things are reconciled through his blood on the cross. And, you know, when we talk about peace, I know, and I want to talk just a little bit about some of the common misconceptions here, because shalom is not a temporary feeling. So if somebody says, oh, I have such peace today, or I have such shalom today, well, what's the implication? Tomorrow, I'm probably not going to have it. But what God offers in Jesus Christ is not a feeling. And I just want you to step back from that word feeling, because, you know, so often we're all about the feelings. I want to feel good. I want to feel at peace. Well, who doesn't, right? But what God says to us is, no, shalom is a reality that I've won for you in Jesus Christ. It's my gift to you. Not a feeling, but a reality that you are reconciled with me, that you have been restored. Even if you can't feel it, you have been healed. You have been restored in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, for me, I got to keep praying every day, Lord, fill me up again. Restore this to me. I know it's there, but let me open my eyes, Lord, and help me to see Jesus. Help me to see the shalom. And I want to share something also from Philippians 4, because Paul shares this word. He absolutely understood this idea of shalom. And he says this in Philippians 4, 7. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Whose understanding? So can you fully grasp God's peace is kind of what he's, you know, Paul's... Paul, there's probably no greater mind in the New Testament world than Paul. And he's saying, now, this shalom, the vastness of it, the greatness of it, the grandness of it, is beyond my understanding. In fact, it transcends all human understanding. It's that good and it's that important. And that peace, that shalom, will guard your hearts and will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a great prayer. It's a great prayer for a friend or a family member. It's a great prayer to pray over somebody. Lord, may your peace guard her heart, his heart, and keep their minds and their hearts in Christ Jesus. Back to Mark 5. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And we're told that immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, one of the great texts for a nation, any nation, and I think especially ours, although I'm biased, of course, but Jeremiah 29. Originally written, Jeremiah writes this letter dictated by God through him to the people of Israel who are in bondage, who are basically have been exiled into Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And he, in the midst of Jeremiah 29, we see some amazing words that have to do with our relationship with our communities, nation, and world. Remember, we start with a healing of our hearts and our minds, the shalom. And this, there's many popular translations, but almost all of them, the word shalom is here, but it skips over, and uses the word prosper or welfare or whatever. But I'm going to show you this here. In verse 7 of Jeremiah 29, God tells the people, seek the welfare, the shalom, the peace, the prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile. And for Babylon, their arch enemy. And he says, I want you to seek their welfare. I want you to seek shalom for them. Again, completely unexpected. I want you, he said, seek their welfare. Seek their prosperity. Seek shalom for them. Seek peace of the city where I have sent you into exile. And going on. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare or in its shalom, you will find your shalom, your welfare. Now, as I said, this is for any nation, but let's apply it to ours. Notice this, that first of all, he uses that strange word exile, that they're in exile, which they were. But something to remember here is that when God, you know, our first citizenship when we become a Christian is no longer the United States of America or whatever country you happen to be from. Our first citizenship, our first loyalty is to the kingdom of God and to Jesus Christ as Lord and King. But we live on this earth, and so then we are citizens, or we are residents of this world wherever we may be. But Paul and Peter described to their fellow Christians, he said, remember that you are exiles in this world. In fact, you are ambassadors for Christ, which means you're living in a foreign country, because an ambassador lives in the foreign country, right? And speaks the language and is there to serve that country, but primarily to serve their king. He said, you're ambassadors. You are serving, representing King Jesus and the kingdom of heaven on this earth. And so I want you to represent the kingdom well and brilliantly as you can. And he says, pray for them. Pray for them. Seek the good. You know, don't try to undermine, but seek the good of the nation and pray for the nation. That is so important for us, to be praying for our nation and to seek its good. And going on, for the healings of our hearts. In verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, jumping forward, the Lord says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And the you is plural here. So it's all of y'all. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for shalom and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then going on, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Remember that woman? She just thought, if only I could reach out. That's what the Lord's saying to Jeremiah, through Jeremiah to the nation, and what the Lord is saying to us through these words as well. Children of God, he says, if you will seek me, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Was that woman reaching out with all of her heart? Yeah. Reach out with that kind of faith. Reach out with that kind of love. And then he at the very end, he says this wonderful little tag on here, and I will be found by you. How wonderful. Let me close with this slide. Back to this for our nation. Remember to pray to the Lord on the nation's behalf. And to remember for the nation that if we just would reach out and touch the hem of his garment, not only will we be healed, you know, this would be my prayer for our nation, that our nation as a whole would reach out and touch the hem of his garment with that kind of faith, that we may be healed and experience shalom. Let's pray, please. Lord, open our hearts to receive your shalom and give us that kind of faith, that we will reach out with that kind of love and confidence and faith that we may be healed in every part of our lives, but especially for our nation and for this troubled world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to go ahead and sing and receive the offering.
Still.